No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. So we understand that there is a man who is able to access the heavens. And that is the man, according to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, the man in Christ. He says, if any man is in Christ, then he is a new creature. So there are men who are in Christ. They are not just in Swaziland. Hallelujah. But there are men who are positioned in Christ. And he says that he doesn't say it is the Son of God that is ascending and descending, but the Son of Man. In other words, he's saying this Son of Man has embraced God, and now he's able to access the heavens. He's able to ascend. Now, when you go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says God made man from the dust of the ground. He breathed into man, and man became a living soul. Hallelujah. So we understand that man is a living soul. When we go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, it tells us the last Adam was a life-giving spirit. Then it says we have taken the image of the first Adam, we will also take the image of the last Adam, who is the heavenly man. Someone say, I'm a heavenly man. You are a heavenly man if you have received Christ. Hallelujah. If you have not received Christ, you are still an earthly man. But when you have received Christ, hallelujah, you are in Christ. You now are not just an earthly man, but you are a heavenly man. And therefore, it qualifies you to ascend to heaven, not when you pass away. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In fact, passing away, the Bible says, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Ideally, you are not traveling anyway. You understand? You just maintain the state spiritually that you are in. Hallelujah. So we understand that now when he says that man became a living soul, that means that your soul must ascend to the heavens. Someone say, my soul must ascend. Hallelujah. That is why normally for those who have the opportunity or the ability to pray in tongues, it is not enough just to go braka rakazea and you are thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow. Because that means your soul has not ascended. The spirit is going kondara sakatala rabba, but the soul must also ascend, because people, they blow tongues and they think about many things. But when your soul also ascends to where those tongues are coming from, hallelujah, because we understand that man is in three dimensions. The highest dimension is the spirit, and then after the spirit is the soul, then after the soul is the body. The body is the lowest dimension. Do you understand? Because when you are asleep, there's still activity. Your body cannot do anything. But when you wake up, you remember that is your soulish realm. Hallelujah. That is actually doesn't sleep. Your physical body cannot stand not sleeping. But then when you have those bad dreams, as we are talking about, it even affects the physical body, such that you have slept, but you have not slept. The body has clocked so many hours, but because the soul was under oppression, then you wake up and you are tired. Because this spirit and the soul are of a higher dimension than the physical body. That's why even the doctors will ask you, are you not stressed? You see, they'll poke you, they'll check you, and they say, we don't. Then they'll ask you, say, what do you do in life? You know, maybe you are stressed. That's why there are all these pains. Hallelujah. Because the soulish realm, when it is under attack, under oppression, it can even make your liver too. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Though they say the liver doesn't have any. Anyway, we're not talking those things. Hallelujah. But I'm trying to tell you that the soul must then ascend. That's what we talk about, ascension. Because the Bible tells us we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Who is seated there? It is the spirit of the man. But then now it is important for us to have the soul, the Son of Man, to ascend. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Praise the Lord. So when our soul ascends, that is why, you know, there's one thing to be prophesying. You understand? Sometimes we prophesy because we have a gift. And then sometimes we prophesy because we have ascended. It's not the same, by the way. There is the one where you're prophesying, where you have a gift. Honestly, when you use the gift, you can even behave whatever way you want. But then there is that prophecy that you can't do because you need to ascend. There is a difference. You can preach because you know scriptures. But then you can preach because you have ascended. Hallelujah. Come to me. Who is the me? It's Jesus. Hallelujah. That means he's calling people to come to him. You see, it's not enough. Us, we have not come to church, to be honest. We met Jesus. We received Jesus. That's what we know. There's nobody who can convince me that this thing is not there. You can go and bring whatever books, history, whatever, all these. They don't bother me. Why? Because what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you become a witness. You are a witness. In other words, you have seen something. When I mean seeing Jesus, I don't mean that you know, see, how his eyebrows look like and all of that. But there's a seeing when you know that I'm born again. You know that when you are praying, you're not just people that are praying to the ceiling. That's why they're trying their prayers to go above the ceiling. Even if your prayer can be on top of the ceiling, on top of the roof, that is not where prayer is answered. Hallelujah. Prayer is answered when you pray in faith, not when it goes, you know. Because you see, the earth is round, by the way. So maybe now, I don't know, right now we are upside down. I'm not sure. I don't know if you get what I mean. It's not the earth round. So it means that someone is on the upper side, others are on the lower side. So when you say your prayers are going up, it means others are going this way, others are going this way, north, south, east, west. So then when you're saying up, somebody's praying is going that way. So it's not really about your prayer is going up somewhere. Unless I've missed some geography. Because others, they say the earth is flat. But you get the point. That it's not that your prayers are going up there. You know, God is up there. We say above because we mean a higher dimension. Not to say above the clouds. Hallelujah. And what you may find that even God is inside. So in other words, that's why we meditate. Because when we meditate, we're allowing the soul to ascend to God. So you see, when you pray, you can mosala katara and all of those things. But then there's a time when you allow the soul to ascend, to then soak in what you have prayed. I don't know if you guys are really understanding. You see, there's a scripture in the book of Revelation that says there was silence in heaven for the space of 30 minutes. So, you know, for us, we always want noise. We're always playing something. But sometimes we just need quiet. If we can do it in church now, it would be awkward. People, you know. So you try, you don't, because they wonder what is happening. There always must be something, you know. There's a realm of the noise, and then there's the realm of the silence. And that is when your soul, hallelujah, then begins to ascend and understand and capture. These things are not deep. It's just that maybe we are not understanding. He says, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Where does the rest come from? The rest comes from Jesus, but he says you must first come. Hallelujah. That means you get the rest when you come to him. You know that lady who met Jesus, and he says, there is a water that I will give you. Hallelujah. So that means that Jesus is handing out water. I know you only think it's those pastors who are giving water. But Jesus is handing, he says, the water that I will give you will be a spring of eternal life, welling up like a well. So when you meet Jesus, then he gives you some water to drink. Now, you see, when he has given you the water, it means the water is with you. Now it's up to you to say, okay, pastor has here some water. Then you'll decide that, well, thank you. Or you can say, let me. And he says, you drink this water and you'll never thirst again. When he says you'll never thirst again, it's because you are continually, you know, when the throat is, you are not dehydrated. Dehydration comes because you haven't drunk. But he says this water is like a spring. You are continually drinking. So he says, come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So when you're, well, let's continue to read so that I don't get ahead of myself. This is, I'm supposed to be passing with these verses. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So in other words, he's saying your spirit is seated with Christ in heavenly places, but then your soul may not be rested because it has not ascended. So your soul needs to ascend to Christ, to Jesus, so that it can also find rest. So you're born again, but you've got no peace. Hallelujah. You're born again, but you are troubled. Let's be honest. You know, all of us, we are experiencing a lot of things, isn't it? Even just in general, we are all living in where all of these things are there. Do you understand? That are happening there. But he says there is a place when you come to him and then you find rest for your soul. So you wonder to say, no, maybe they'll come to church and they will pray for me and I will, you know. That's why normally sometimes when I pray for people, I say, I pray for you, but go and then capture. I'm trying to say, go and ascend so that this thing, it's not just a feeling. Because we pray and then someone says, hey, I felt the fire. Now let the fire come to the soul so that you can find rest for your soul. Hallelujah. So he says, no man has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man. And he tells us that man is now this living soul. And your soul needs to ascend. Now someone may be asking, I don't understand what you're saying. Hallelujah. He says, take my yoke and learn from me. So that means that now part of the ascension is when you begin to learn from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He begins to teach you. And these are things that he has told us, that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to teach you. Praise the living God. But come to him. Hallelujah. That is when you pray, it's not just, you see, the problem is that when we pray, most of the time we are troubled by our troubles. So that is what fuels the prayer. But hey, I have to pray because things are rough, you know. Or tomorrow I'm going for an interview. You see that. So you have not really come to him. But he says, come to me so that you can find rest. Because sometimes you go to the interview and then things don't go well. But maybe if you came to him, he will tell you that you will go there. You will find trouble. But just know that everything is well. But when you just say, Father, as I go, things are going to happen. Doors are going to happen. Then you get there, you are troubled because they didn't work out. But if you learn from him, he was going to tell you that, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit once told me to say, don't waste your time going there. Nothing is going to happen. Hallelujah. Then you are at rest. But when you just go and you say, the Father is with me, which he is, but your soul has not ascended, whereby he can now guide you, and then you find rest. Jesus told the disciples, in this world you'll face tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So when the persecution comes, you'll remember those words of Jesus Christ. You know, when you read the book of Revelations, some would have said this Jesus must go away. Because he told some people you'll be thrown in jail. But those who overcome, they will be given to eat of the tree of life. So that's how we find rest for our souls. Because then he begins to teach us. He says, come learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. Sometimes you are troubled about many things. You're troubled about your kids or whatever. But the Holy Spirit just says, don't worry. This one shall be right. You may be seeing all these things, but he's giving you rest. Hallelujah. Do you know what that means? You know, there are times when the Spirit of God speaks to you, and you're going and doing things, and the things are not working, but there is that thing that you know, that this thing will come out right. Oh, there, I knock on this door, it's not happening. But you know that this thing is going to happen. Why? Because your soul has found rest. Hallelujah. Then he says, take my yoke and learn from me. Let's continue. So there's a yoke that comes from Jesus. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now when you read Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27, I don't know if you know that verse. They normally use it for anointing. It says, it shall come to pass in that day that the burden will be lifted off your shoulder and the yoke off your neck. And then if you read there, he says, it shall come to pass in the day that his, you see, it says that his burden would be taken from your shoulder. I'm saying normally those, I don't know, maybe when they tell you are stressed, your shoulders are, isn't it? Your shoulders and your neck. And you understand? I'm not making fun of you. Okay, let's. He says there is a burden that will be taken. And he says his burden. And as in, it's not the burden of God, it is not yours. But you have taken things that are not yours. You know when the Bible says do not worry? In other words, it's saying whatever you're worrying about, now you have taken somebody else's problem. He says, do not worry what you're going to eat, what you wear, but seek first the kingdom. In other words, he's saying it is not your burden to be worrying about what is going to happen tomorrow. But what you do is you take it upon yourself. And then vele your... Hallelujah. He says his burden shall be taken away from your shoulder. Before they told you, the Bible has already told us that when there is a burden that is not from God, it comes on your shoulders. You understand? And his yoke from your neck. So the shoulders and the neck. He's telling you ways, and he said it's not yours. You are carrying things that you're... Because think about it, Jesus should have been stressed when he was in the boat. But he said, Lord, this one you have spoken to me. I have rest. But you see, it's a challenge when you haven't found rest because your soul has not ascended to Jesus for him to communicate with you. You see, the scriptures tell you to forgive. But you know, you cannot just do the Bible. It's very difficult. Like just to say, I'm doing the word. But when you come and you learn from him and then he works on you. You know, because many of us, if we're honest, okay, let me say myself. You know, you have got your own decisions. Like here, I'm going to do this. This one, I'm going to deal with them like this. And then when you just take time to ascend, not even about that, then the Holy Spirit just starts to tell you that can you see now that, in other words, your soul has come to a place of learning. But if you just, and then you're going to go and fix people. I don't know if you understand. So we are talking about the soul must ascend. I'm saying this because I'm going somewhere. I was not really talking about it. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Okay. So now I've already taught before that the anointing, when you read 1 John 2 verse 20 and verse 27, the anointing is not just some fire, but the anointing, the Bible says, teaches you things. Hallelujah. So anointing is not just a feeling, but it's a communication where God begins to teach you that this is what life is about. This is how you find rest. Then he says, take my yoke, it's easy and it is light. So when the Bible talks about someone who is saved, how many are saved here? I know it can be a trick question because others will preach something, not others, even myself. I may preach and say you are not saved. Not in a negative way, in a positive. How many are saved? You are not sure to lift your hand to say, there's nothing. You see, the Bible says in the book of John, James chapter 1, from verse 21 to 23, it talks about receive the word with meekness that is able to save your soul. So you find that the spirit man is one with the Lord, but the soul is not saved. Do you understand? In other words, the soul is still in the state of sin. By sin, I mean it's not in line with the spirit man, with God, with the word of God. So all of us, we are getting saved every time we get into the word, every time we pray. Because the soul is the emotions. You understand? Like for us, many of us to be triggered, it's not a problem. Like you are ready for everything. I don't know if you understand what I mean. Like you're that person saying, nobody messes with me. You understand? Like you are ready to sort people out. With words and with fists, it means that emotion is not yet saved. And we are all different. You see, others, other people, they just cannot, like you're always separating with people. I don't know if you understand what I mean. Today is this one, you're blocking, you're doing what? don't want to talk with. Like, you are just, you know, those people, they are just, they, you see. That, and then you need to then get the word of. So the word of God is not just for the bank account. Because now that's what we have made it about. That you are here for the bank account or for your body. So you need healing, you need deliverance, or you need promotion. And then all the other things. When we preach those things, this guy is not doing the right things. You understand? Peter was a race. Is it racist or what? But anyway, let's leave. He was xenophobic. Until one day, God had to give him a chance and open the heavens, and things started coming down. Until his heart was able to accept others. That's an apostle, right there. A man whose shadow is healing people, but Vele, he has problems with. If you come from here, you understand. Ephesians chapter 1. I was passing there, really. It's not that what I'm really trying to. I'm not passing it. I had to say this to say what I want to say now. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So the deliverance for many of us is in the soul. Like we're talking about family deliverance. Even if they can say this, you say, I'm not going to go and talk to nobody. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. I sooner die than go and talk to so and so. Answer that. So the deliverance really is in there. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Someone say, I'm blessed. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So in the spiritual realm, everything is there. That is why there's a need for ascending. So that your soul and body can enjoy what your spirit. Remember when Lazarus died, right? Where was he? He was in Abraham's bosom. The rich guy was in hell. That was their state in the spirit. But in the physical, this guy's wounds were being licked by dogs. So there was no ascension. When he arrived there, he arrived that he was in. Abraham was a very blessed man. In fact, the Bible talks about the blessing of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3. And he was known as the son of Abraham. But in the physical, he was being licked by dogs. Because there was no ascension. But when he died, he realized that actually I was in a good place. And then Abraham said to the rich man, when you guys were alive, this guy received bad things, you received good things. So Abraham was actually acknowledging that this man was suffering. It was not good what was happening to him. Unfortunately, he couldn't ascend to enjoy the blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah. And then the rich man was in hell. We were sharing once about, I'm just passing it, to say that, you know, when people say that so-and-so, your ancestor has come to share something with you. No, those who are in hell, they are not coming to tell you to continue in darkness. They are telling you to please go and look for a preacher now. Like, when I'm done with you, go and look for a pastor or repent. Because that's what the man said. I need water, but at the same time, my brothers are alive. Please, can you go and preach to them? So when you say someone appeared for me from the dead, hallelujah. If he's not in heaven, if he's in hell, he's not telling you to go and mix this and that, or go, to Mozambique and collect some water. He's telling you, please don't come here. We were deceived when we were alive. Hallelujah. Let's continue to verse 15. Therefore, I also, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, amen, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in your prayers. So anyway, you see, Paul, you can interpret it anyway, but this man says, I'm now praying for you because I've heard of your faith and your love for the saints. You say, now I'm ready to pray for you. Anyway, he says, I do not see. Okay, let's continue to verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, when he says that he may give you, he's giving it to who? Hallelujah. Because ideally you say that your spirit is one with him. So is it that you have it or you don't have it? But he's praying that you may receive it. What he's trying to tell you is that I'm praying that now your soul may receive this spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In other words, if your soul has not had an encounter with him, you know, we can't talk about the spirit really. Because in general, let's just say in general, everyone then should be powerful by default. Once you are saved, God is living in you. So then things should be happening, isn't it? But then you look at others, this one has got more fire than the other. Why? It's because their soul has encountered something. Otherwise, if you are talking about the default setting, then everyone should be walking on water and shadows healing. Everyone should be, oh, raka, kuru, kuru, kuru. In fact, the building should be shaking like this. But then you find that there hasn't been ascension. Someone has not received the spirit of wisdom. Not to say your spirit has not received it, but your soul has not come to a place to receive the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. I pray, hallelujah, that you may have that encounter with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So you see, the revelation is not just now you can explain, what the seven toes on the in the book of Daniel and all those type of things. That is not it's not necessarily to say you've got these deep things. They are part of it. I'm not against that. But the first thing is that there is a knowledge of Christ. You know him. Let's continue. So there's wisdom and there's revelation that comes when your soul ascends. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Hallelujah. So now your soul has got eyes, but then they then are lighted. Because do you realize that your soul has eyes? I don't want you go and read Genesis and then you'll understand what I mean. But the question, it is lighted by what? Do you understand? That's why I said people, they can go on internet and then watch all these things and then they say, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe Jesus Christ. You have received light. But Jesus says, woe of you if your light is darkness. He says your eye must be single. But he says your light shouldn't be. If your light is darkness, then your whole body will be covered with light. So some people's light is darkness. I know me, I've discovered things. That's why I don't go to church. It's darkness that you have received. You have now seen how everyone in the house of God is bad. You are the good one. Is that already a sign that there is self-righteousness? You are better than everyone. Like out of all the people, you are the only one. Such you have to separate yourself from the people of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Like there's not even one to say, maybe I go there and I can. I remember I once preached to someone in one of the shops. They got saved. They said they are coming to church. So on the Sunday, they didn't come. I went to the shop and I asked them, what happened? Then you said, My sister said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to church. Which church? Ah, there, sword and spirit. Ah, those ones, they are wearing pants. Then that's when the story ended. So I said, okay, first of all, I preach to you. I go there. He said, no, maybe you are the only holy one. You see. So honestly, that is light, that is darkness. That now I'm the only one, I cannot. As I've said to you, saints, the reason we read the Bible is not because we are more powerful than others. But we understand that this is how we get better. Because once we leave the word of God, it means you understand. In fact, the Bible tells us that when you read the book of Corinthians, it actually says the preachers are to simplify it, at the west. I don't know. Anyway, let's leave that one. Forget, just erase that one. I don't want to start explaining, but there are scriptures I'll show you, but it's diversion. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. So the first thing is knowledge of him. Then understanding, enlightenment, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So you know him, then you get to know the calling of God upon your life. And then he says, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? So you know him, you know the calling. The calling is not just the preaching. What are you called as a believer? And then it can translate to what are you called to do in this world? And then he says, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So that means that God has deposited something in us. And he says your eyes need enlightenment so that you can know how rich that thing is. You see, when we understand this, there's no one who's now going to start threatening us. You see, we are threatened or someone tells you that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Or you compromise because someone has offered you 1,000. Then you understand this. So when your eyes are open, you see there's the riches of the glory invested in me. So what am I looking for out there? You are offering me 1,000. Are you guys getting me? It's all a matter of then the enlightenment to understand who you are. Amen. And that is also a step now in terms of this deliverance thing. Once you discover, he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? So he's talking about there's a greatness of power that has been invested upon the believer. And there needs to be enlightenment so you know that power. You know, one day I was praying and I saw something and I said, this can never happen to me. And you know, it's not like, you know that you hear people talking that and you say, hey, what if? But then when I got that light, I saw that, no, this thing is not like someone just boasting or trying. There's something that has grabbed the person. And they say, no, this cannot happen. Not because they're just confessing right. Because answer you, when you confess, your heart starts beating. I don't know if you understand what I mean. You are saying this thing, but you are thinking, hey, I'm about to get myself in trouble. Or what if it doesn't? That means that the light has not come. That's why sometimes you leave people to say, no, this one, maybe they've seen something. And they're not just, for me, I'll take it that, hey, maybe it's not too smart, Pastor Wazi, to say that. But then when you get light, like one day I saw something, I said, there's something that I've said it before. I said, I will never say that thing ever again. Because I realized that was a language of a low level, someone there. And I wouldn't have known it until I got light and I saw that I know here. Vele, I was exposing myself. But we grow, so there's no condemnation. Answer, a child crawls, walks, and so. The exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. You see all this powerful English to tell what God has done in you, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So this power that has been invested to us is the power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead. How was Jesus raised from the dead? In fact, he wasn't even prayed for. He just woke up after. You ask yourself, how did this guy wake up? Because no one went to pray for him. I can understand if someone is dead, you pray for them, they wake up. But this one, he just woke up. And when he came out of the tomb, it's not that the tomb was open. When the angels removed the stone, it's not so that Jesus could walk out. They removed the stone to show the guys that he's not inside. So this guy woke up and came out of the grave without someone digging or in that case removing the stone. He's talking about that power that raised Jesus and he walked out of the grave. The guys were still guarding there, thinking there's someone inside. The angel came, those guys were arrested. In fact, he showed that power when they came to take him. And they said, who is Jesus Christ? He said, I am he. They fell down. He was trying to show them that you guys are too small. If I just open that realm, but now In order for me to die, I have to surrender myself. But for you to take me with your hands, nail me to the cross, it's impossible. So it just showed them that, no, guys, it's not that I was taken because I was defeated. But he said, I am he. Hallelujah. In other words, he opened that realm. Then he said, let me close it because I must follow the plan of God to die. The guys, they fell down. I thought maybe they would have repented. But then it was the plan of God to say, no, let them remain hard. They'll fall down and they still feel like when we get up, we still have to continue. That's why to fall is not enough. We're not. You see, you can't pray that you must have more power, so when you pray, people, they fall down. I know it looks good for people's eyes and the videos. Hey, there's power flowing. Some of those who have fallen down, they got back up and are going to take him. Because the soul must also ascend, not just to fall down. Hallelujah. And even the demons will trick you. They'll make a person fall and roll and roll. They say that we know this one, that's what they like. They feel the job is done because they're spinning. And they say, yeah, just make him spin. And this one will go, he feels like. And then, oh, yeah, he's gone. Praise the Lord. And seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. So now the power that rose him from the dead. He's not talking about this power. Realize that this power that I'm talking about is the one that he says has been invested upon us as believers. And there's enlightenment that is needed to know that that thing that made Jesus to do whatever has been given to us. So do you see the real need for your soul to ascend? Otherwise, you find that when the word is being preached by whoever, they are preaching about the realm of the spirit, but your soul has not ascended there. And it looks like this thing just is lies. How many have ever seen that? These things are lies, man. These guys are just talking. You understand? But the soul must ascend. Enlightenment. Hallelujah. Answer, even in school, there is diploma. There is certificate, whatever, okay, just the diploma, certificate, master's, PhD. They are all levels of light which allow you to do certain things. So the same person who had a diploma now has a PhD. Your ID is still the same, but light has come. Now you are able to do certain things. Not because now you went somewhere, but you received light. Okay, let's continue. So this resurrected, and then it's the power that took him to heaven. Now, when we say it took him to heaven, in other words, do you realize that Jesus, when he died, he gave up the ghost, right? You know that. But now he rose with the physical body, and he went to heaven with that body. He's talking about that power. In other words, he disappeared. Do you know that in heaven there are three people who have got bodies? Jesus, Moses. Moses was buried. There's a question mark on him. But because they don't know where his grave is. Yeah, so we don't know. Maybe he has. But Jesus, Elijah, and Enoch. These ones, they went to heaven without dying. So that means that even right now, their bodies are preserved. Because he says the same Jesus shall come again. When he rose up, the graves are opened and the people came out. What I'm trying to say, I'm talking about the power. It's not about saying some strange thing. But I'm trying to say this is the power that he has invested to us. Now our commitment must to be let our soul ascend so that in our generation, at least we can reveal something. I don't know if you get what I mean. That maybe how long you're going to live, you may not be able to finish God. But to say, in this life, let me reveal something. So my soul must ascend. Then he says, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. So those spirits that we are talking about, hallelujah, spirits of infirmity, whatever demonic spirits. He says that when we get the light, but really our position in the spirit is we are far above them. And then he says every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. Hallelujah. So it's not that you have got temporary power. I don't know what you, if you understand. When they say you are the interim prime minister, it means you are just for the period. So it's like you've got power just for now. He's saying the power that you have been given, even in that world to come, it will be the same one. So if, let's say, this was a symbol of power, you die, you go to heaven, you still find this one there in heaven. They're saying, Pella, that is the same. We're not using a different thing. The thing that you were given is the same one that is working even here. He says, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. Okay, let's continue. So this is why the soul must ascend, because the spirit is seated. Remember, I told you there are three dimensions. That is our fight every day. Do you see that? To say, to get that light, to get that wisdom and revelation whereby I can grasp. And every day we're fighting, because we're fighting with the other lights that are there. I always say COVID shaked us, because you could see that, hey, the light was not really there. You know, not in a bad way. I'm just saying it, you see. Because before COVID, you say, bring the sick to church. And then with our same mouth, we're saying, if you are sick, you must stay home. Now, I'm just saying, you understand. It was a dilemma. It was a dilemma, because before you were saying they should come so that it can be prayed. Now you are saying, and you may say, okay, well, this and that and that and that. But, you know, I just imagine Jesus Christ. Hey. I just imagine that man was, he had no fear of anything. He went to a tomb, that guy who had legions. He was tied there. The people said, this guy is too much. We have to tie him in the mountains, in the tomb. That's where Jesus went. When he says, we're going to the other side, he knew that I'm going to meet that man. He was tied with chains. The Bible says no man could tame him. But then when Jesus arrived at the seashore, even the spirit says we are going. In fact, the spirit started by causing the storm. I don't know if you guys understand. They said, let's go to the other side. And then it wasn't just weather conditions. But then the legion in him said, this man is coming and he's about to get rid of us. Let's see if we cannot capsize the ship. Maybe we'll find Jesus, you know, he has flooded his soul with all kinds of... Because honestly, you realize some days, if I would use the word faith, your faith is up there. Other days, when you see that you have stuffed yourself with all these things, it's difficult. So he said, maybe we'll find Jesus. Because when Jesus got rid of Satan in the temptation, he says, I will come back. So that was part of the coming back. To say, oh, he's coming, let's send a storm. Maybe that guy is not sure today of who he is. Ah, but the man was 100%. He was so sure that he says, I'm not even going to fight this thing. I'm just going to sleep. But he said, because these guys now, they'll be shaking the boat, let me rebuke the storm. When he arrived at the seashore, the man with the legion was also there. How did he know that someone was coming? Yeah. It was the spirits in him. So you see how a demon-possessed person operates. They've got higher information. When your soul has not ascended, you are dealing with people who have legions. Hallelujah. They know when you're going for the interview. What is telling him is the legion in them. So you have also got a legion that must tell you things. That somebody is coming. Something is happening. Are we together? So he met him there and they started to worship. Why torment us before his time? At the end of the day, the man was free. What I'm trying to say is that Jesus went where? Nobody was able to go. He tamed the man. Now, I'm not saying now go and look for things. Vele, it was right for one to say people stay at home, because we're going to cause problems. But if your soul has ascended, you say there's no problems that will happen here. The breeze, the wind will be blowing. Hallelujah. It's all about ascendancy. Not just to look at the scriptures and say, now I'm going to copy. I'm going to try and walk on water. Only to find now you don't even know how to swim and you are in problems. Hallelujah. It's like one guy, he came for prayer. He came for prayer. He heard the word of God. Today I'm done with cigarettes. He threw them. You know, when he was driving home from church, before he reached home, you know, he did a U-turn now, checking in the bush, it's away. So it's not just about throwing the cigarette, you understand? It's not just about saying, throw the glass. Like if you have faith, remove the glasses. You'll remove them, you'll crush them, and then you'll have to now take out more money. But when light comes, you'll just remove them. Not by just copying, but light will cause you that I don't need these glasses anymore. So that's why when you pray for people, say, we are not the one who gave you the medication. As for me, I didn't give you. Go to the one who gave you. You may be healed and all, but I don't discuss your medication. Or some say, if I faith that today, I'm not taking this thing. Make sure it is light that is provoking you. Because now you'll be calling, hey, Pastor, what happened? He said, you forgot to take the thing and now. Hallelujah. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Are we still together? So if you look at this, this is the picture of the church. But then for us is to keep on ascending until in this world we are able to live this out. He has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. That's why when he talks about Jesus returning, he says he will hand over the kingdom when all his enemies are being put underfoot. So now it's a matter of who is going to do what. So Jesus is watching to say, hey, they're still struggling with these demons here. You know, I want to make sure that one is settled. That when it comes to this spirit, they know how to deal with it. Because he says he's returning for a glorious church. Imagine he returns and said, you see this Jesus Christ, you are lying. We are very much in control. Satan will be able to boast. To say, okay, you said this one has come to save. He came the first time. When he left, in fact, he left you with problems. He left us here. We've been tormenting you. Now he's coming back to tell you he's saving you. No, he says when he comes back, hallelujah, enemies must be put under feet. And he even says the last enemy is to destroy his death. So it's about victory, 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 victory. That is what we're fighting for. I don't know if you guys are hearing me. Is it too much for today? Okay, let's close. Hallelujah. So, all of this that I was sharing to you is that there is something that God wants to reveal to us. And the power of the spiritual world is to affect the many things that are happening in this world. Do you understand what I'm saying? And everybody has got his expression of what God wants to do. And that is why you see this thing of, it doesn't take us very far. This